Shalom, Rabbi Kurt Landry here. I want to welcome you, all Kurt Landry partners, the House of David family, all of you. Listen, we're going to talk about a subject that I think you really need to know about in this season of time. We're going to talk about AI. We have a young man here is really on the cutting edge from California. He's from my home state. His name is Griffin, and we're going to discuss with him in depth about the real skinny, so to say, behind what's happening with AI. Because there's no reason to just put it in a box and be afraid of it and say, oh, this is the devil or this is that. I just want to share a testimony before I get started with Griffin. It was over 3 years ago when I noticed as a business person what AI was doing. And so I was down in Florida and I was praying and I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what is it with this AI? And I clearly heard the voice of the Lord speak to me. And this is what he said. He said, AI is a rock. And I said, Lord, what do you mean it's a rock? He said, well, it's a rock that Cain killed Abel, his brother, with, or it's a rock that David killed Goliath. He said, I am going to teach you, like King David, to put it into a sling and use that rock to kill the Goliath, that monster, so to say, that's making verbal accusation. If you know the story, the Goliath was making accusations against the nation of Israel, against King Saul at the time, and basically that's where we're at right now. We're in a propaganda war. You have different forces coming from different camps saying different things, and we're going to have to battle back. And if we're going to battle back with the truth, we're going to have to be like King David, and we're going to have to be able to battle back with the truth. My ministry and my life and business has always been quite simple, is I'm not going to debate and argue with anybody. I don't mind discussing things, but here's the key. Make a good decision off good information. So Griffin, thank you so much. I'm so glad that you're part of our team. This is the first time that I've actually met you face to face. And so it's kind of interesting. I feel like I'm on a reality show here because we got cameras, we got mics and headsets. But anyway, we'll let go of all the formality and tell me a little bit about yourself. How did you get involved in this industry? And I know the Lord's gifted you with a brilliant mind and you're so well respected. You're only 22 years old, which is just it's an amazing thing. We're so honored to have you with us here at Kurt Landry Ministries. But how did you get into this?
When I was a kid, I read Max Tegmark. He's a professor over at MIT. He wrote a book on what the future looks like. And his argument is that over the next 100 years, AI is going to define our future. But just like rocks or guns or concrete or any other tool, it's up to us to figure out how to use it. And in his book, he laid out a number of different scenarios, and I realized I didn't know which scenario I thought was the best. I didn't know what the future would look like, but I knew that that's where I wanted to be. I wanted to be one of the people who was making sure that as this new tool got built, it was being used responsibly, and it was being used to really help people and make their lives better, not to just make money and create a split society where it's split between those who know how to use it and control everything, and those who don't know how to use it and are left behind.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so good. Well, I know, you know, with us, and I know you probably know a lot more about us and me than I know about you in this scenario, but that's our heart. Our heart is to protect the funnel of information that we bring into our AI funnel, so to say, to be able to give people an opportunity to really glean, transform, and be educated spiritually with common sense principles so that I have a friend of mine, he's in the behavioral sciences at a real high level, and he's not a Christian, and anyway, we were doing some programs together, we were working on some things, he actually had me on his podcast, and he said, one of the reasons, Rabbi, I have you on this podcast, this is a secular podcast, he said, but one of the reasons I have you on here is because you are really the same as I am, I'm looking for results, because he works with large corporations and places where people want to become their best of themselves. And he says, but you do it spiritually. You want spiritual results. And I really think that for us to get the spiritual results we need to compete and to battle spiritually in the world today, I think AI is going to be one of the tools, if not the main tool to do that. But one of the questions we ask here, we've got a few questions and I want to run them by you if I can. And it says, you know, what the data leak issue and the privacy concerns that our followers, how can we trust Curt Landry Ministries and the AI that we're currently working with, that you're building with Paul and with our team? How do we know we can trust that information?
That's an excellent question. And this is very timely right now with the elections coming up. You'll see that there are lots of deep fakes. There's lots of spam. I know there are companies that are getting ripped off by deep fake videos. These are videos that are generated by AI designed to fool people. Mm-hmm. And AI, it can be used in both ways. It can be used for good. It can be used for evil. And when it comes to whether or not to trust AI, when you say that you're trusting AI, what you're really saying is, I trust the person or the team that built this AI tool. And one thing that Curt Landry Ministries has done unequivocally is it's created a position in the community where, rightly so, it's earned lots of trust. Right? The things you say are true. The things the team says are true. And so when you're going and deploying tools, that's the ethos that you're bringing into this. And just like if personally I were to come to you and ask for help on a problem in my life, you wouldn't then go and post that on social media, right? That would be private between you and me.
Right.
And you would take a lot of care for that. If someone came up to you and offered you $20 to learn what I said, you wouldn't take that $20.
Right.
And that's the same mindset that we use when we're building tools. Mm-hmm. We say, okay, we know we need to be careful. We know we need to be intentional, but AI is a mirror into reality. It's not anything new in and of itself. It reflects the views of its creators. And if the creators are untrustworthy, the AI will be untrustworthy. And if the creators are trustworthy, then the AI will do the best that it can to be trustworthy. Mm-hmm. I think it's important for us to note there will be some mistakes. It is unavoidable. Beautiful things were built with hammers, but people are also killed with hammers. And just like we wear hard hats in construction zones because we know that there are risks, we need to make sure that we're reflecting in ourselves to say, what are we comfortable with? And we're spending time looking at who's building this tool. Do I trust them? Are they someone that I would tell this information to? If I strip the tool away, would I talk to them about this? And it's up to each of us to use our own common sense to really make sure that we trust the people behind the tool.
Well, listen, Griffin, this is so refreshing. And again, to our podcast listeners and watchers, this is the first time that we've met. I mean, obviously, you know, I'm CEO, and really, I take that as chief change officer for opportunity. But what we're doing here is, I've had such good reports from you, from our team, particularly with Paul. And I'm so excited to see the team that's coming together because they're wanting to make an impact for humanity. In fact, one of the messages we preach, and of course you know this because you're working with our content, is one new man. But one new man actually translates out in the Hebrew to one new humanity. So what do you think is one of the biggest misconceptions of AI? I think AI can be used to build and awaken humanity. Am I wrong in thinking that?
Not at all. AI is a megaphone, just like social media is a megaphone, or having a congregation listen to you is a megaphone. It's a tool that lets you amplify your opinions and your beliefs. And so just like how right now there are lots of folks that are using it for what I would argue is evil purposes, people like us can use it for good. And one misconception that I see a lot of folks having is that AI is going to destroy the world, or AI is ruining humanity, or these kinds of things. All AI is doing is moving us faster in the direction that we were already moving in. And it's up to those of us that are trying to help other people to make sure that we are using the best tools that are available to us. Just like we're using microphones and the internet right now to get our message out, we should be using AI in that same kind of mindset.
Okay, so I'm going to just switch gears here off the questions sheet, and then I want your response. And of course, we haven't scripted this. So I started building messages. I got saved in 1989, and then spiritually I was in the fruit business. I was a broker, but I did my own Bible studies. And so I did that like from 89 to, let's say, about, well, till 96. And the way it worked is I would be getting a message and I would get keywords like, and I would say, okay, where in the Bible is this scripture? And so we have a book, it's called A Strong Concordance. I don't know if you know what that is, but what you do is you do a word search on it. You go in and it has numbers and it gives you, you know, there's lexicons and it gives you a translation. And I would go in and find that. And it was very time intensive. I still use a Strong's at some time, but so just for our listeners here on the AI side, now when I'm putting together a message, to be honest with you, back in the day, it would take me an hour to 2 hours to prepare a message to speak for an hour. And actually now, even with AI, and what I'm going to say, it takes me, I put 4 to 8 hours into, when you see me for 45 minutes in a message, it takes that much time. And the reason is that I have to have the intentionality to be able to give you some information to where you're getting nuggets really about every minute or two. So, but one of the advantages is, and people don't think about this, is Google. Okay, I'm not endorsing it, but what happens is now I don't go to the Strong's. I have so much scripture in my head memorized. I'll go, okay, the message is going here, and then really the Holy Spirit like will quicken to me a scripture, and then I'll just go to my phone and I'll put in where is the joy of the Lord. I just type in joy of the Lord or speak it, and bam, here comes scriptures on it. It is so much faster. And then every scripture that has reference to the joy of the Lord is just right there. Griffin, I got to tell you, it accelerates my experience. And that's AI, right?
I mean, so I do something similar in my own life. So I'm not very religious, but I'm a committed Taoist. And to me, that's the spirituality that I follow. And I don't know if you've ever read the Tao Te Ching, but it's only about 80 pages, but it's essentially poetry that's been translated over from Chinese into English. Mm-hmm. Not stuff you can parse very quickly. Mm-hmm. And so what I used to do every morning is I would read a page and then I would just meditate and reflect on my life. And now what I'll do is I'll take whatever page I want to read and I'll actually just put it into ChatGPT. I do a writing exercise every morning. And I put in my morning writing exercise. And I'll ask it, how might this apply to my life? What are some, using this lens, how might I want to think about this? And there are some people that would say that that's inauthentic because it uses a machine, right? There are people that would say that that's whatever, this or that. But it's a tool. Mm-hmm. And it helps me grow. And it helps me build deeper relationships with my friends. Mm-hmm. And so kind of what you're saying, at the end of the day, there's... People throw this word authentic around a lot, and people might look at what you do and say, that's not authentic. I would argue that what's authentic is the experience that you create, the connections that you help people form, the way that you make people feel. That's what really matters. Mm-hmm. And the shorter amount of time it takes you to prepare to do that, the more of that kind of work you can do. Mm-hmm. Because the work that matters isn't the preparation. The preparation is what you need to do the work that really matters.
Yeah. Well, see, like for me and this, I'm just using Google as an example, is I'll tell you a funny story, Griffin. I was looking up recently, and I don't remember the subject, but so I just put it into Google on the subject, and then it Googled back to me a blog article that would help me to understand it. And the funny part was it was my article. but now let me tell you what really happened. This article that I wrote and the team wrote from here was like 2 years old.
Yeah.
Okay. Now listen, I produce so much content, as you know. I mean, that's my whole life. Praise God that my gift, I would rather than do anything like fish or play golf or do those things, and I'm not against those, but my joy is to produce content, because spiritually what happens is it allows me to go and sit with the Holy Spirit and my Bible, which is Jesus, the Word of God, And I get to be able to commune with God and get this transforming power. And so I guess I'm kind of like a spiritual addict. I'm addicted to what I do for a living, and I don't, it's a calling and a purpose. But so one of the things that happened is I was using AI to just find a scripture, and a blog came up, and I was able to reflect back. So what it was like for me, Griffin, is like I was journaling, because that's what my blogs are, and Megan's blogs are journals. And I went back and I go, oh my gosh. So now what happened in my brain, what happened is I literally, because AI found that blog, I went back and read the blog, added notes to what I was going to minister on, now 2 years later, but it literally, my mentally and emotionally, I traveled back 2 years and back in my head, and I thought, what inspired this message? And it just enriched me, and I'll tell you why. Okay, this particular blog, what happened is I was saying things that I wanted to happen and things that I was prophetically saying were going to happen. And when I went back to that 2 year blog, the integrity of God, it did happen. And so I was just like, oh my gosh, you know, my faith, you know, faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God, and you overcome the Satan enemy by your testimony. So the blog from 2 years ago through AI came, and my faith went to another level. So that night when I hit the pulpit here, the Bema at House of David, I mean, I'm on fire, but let's face it, it came from an AI source. So the next question here is, how can I know that AI has my best interest at heart? Is there, what's your answer to that?
It's the same as earlier. It depends on the creators behind the tool.
Yeah.
In today's society, for especially people in my generation, we see an app or a website or something with technology in front of it, and it gives it this veneer of legitimacy, where we say, oh, because it's an app, therefore it must be good. Or because it's a website, it must be good. And we trust these things in a way that we would never trust another person, right? If you told me the sky was purple, I'd still have to go out and use my own judgment to figure that out. If an app told me that, now suddenly that makes it legit. And mm-hmm. if that post has 1,000 likes, now, of course, I'm all the way for it. Mm-hmm. And it's insane. Mm-hmm. But it's up to all of us in today's society to say who's behind the technology, mm-hmm. right? Who's behind the curtain, if you will. Mm-hmm. And you have to pick tools and pick technologies that come from people that you trust and believe in, mm-hmm. right? If Facebook puts out a tool that says, here's how to deepen your faith, run, right? That is scary, scary business, mm-hmm. because they've shown over and over and over again, they do not have users' best interests at heart.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If someone like us, who we're a nonprofit, it is in our mission to make people's lives better. That's what you and I are doing here, mm-hmm. right? You and I aren't sitting here trying to build a business. We're sitting here trying to help people. Mm-hmm. And because we're coming from that mindset, that's what allows people to trust us. Mm-hmm. But anyone that's building one of these things saying, we're in it to make money, especially if the tool is free and they say, we're in it to make money on the data side, or we're in it to find people that are depressed or sell them antidepressants, mm-hmm. that's really scary stuff.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that we're doing, and we can tell this to our audience as well, is that our intention when I was in Florida, and this was over 3 years ago, and I asked the Lord about, this is just a rock. And what happened with me was, as a business person, you know, not just as a rabbi and a minister, but you're either going to have to understand it, or you can't fight what you don't understand. So what 3 years ago, and actually, you know, I actually went to attorneys first because I thought, okay, we have to have the proper legal documentation and protection for Kurt Landry Ministries if we're going to do this. So I haven't mentioned this. You know, we did this very quietly. I come from old school business where if you're going to do something, you keep your cards close to your chest. So now we're talking about this because we're already kind of up and running with this. But I want to ask you a personal question: is why did you choose? I mean, with your skill base, you can do a lot of different things. Why is it, as you're speaking to the Kurt Landry Ministry family here, why did you choose us to work with? Because obviously you could choose anybody, but why you know, why us? You're not a born again believer. You're a spiritual man, but you're Jewish by blood. And of course we respect that obviously, because a lot of our staff here are Jews. And we're Jewish believers, and you're not a Jewish believer yet, or maybe someday you will be. But my point is, why did you choose us? I mean, you could have chose anybody, and we're so different. And I know that we stand with Israel in a unique way, for real. We stand with Israel, but we are a ministry of reconciliation to all people. But why did you choose us?
It's two things that are kind of the same. The first is when I met Paul, he was and is one of the most genuine people I've ever met. And for me, I care a lot about the kinds of people I work with. Right? Remember, I was talking about how AI is a mirror, it reflects its creators. As a product manager, as someone who's building the tool, I'm implementing someone else's vision. It was really important for me to find someone who has integrity, honesty, who cares about the end user, and isn't going to take what I built and turn around and start selling user data. I've worked on teams where that kind of integrity was thrown out the window and the things that I built were used for purposes that I would not have been okay with if I knew that going into it. And that's not the kind of person I want to be. And I think every engineer out there needs to think about what kind of uses they're okay with their tools. Right, if you're working on radio frequency transmitters, are you working on making sure that we can get alerts when things go down, or are you working on drones that go out and maybe kill innocent people? Where do you draw the line? What are you okay with? And for me, part of where I draw the line is I don't know what the future of AI looks like. You can make these grandiose arguments about how we need to A and B and C and D, and we can justify steps A and B and C because D is going to be so glorious. But for me, the way that you make the world a better place in a big way is you start by making the world a better place in a small way. And that's a vision that Paul articulated to me. He's told me about what we're working on, and he told me about where he wants to see this grow. And I loved every bit of it. Mm-hmm. The other thing is I love generally how focused the organization is on its members and on its users. You guys really, really do have their best interest at heart. And for companies, and we're sort of pivoting into this tech company role, I would argue that as we start to bring developers on staff, that's changing. You have the user's best interest at heart. I'm in conversations every week where we're spending time talking about how can we make sure people are protected? How can we make sure that we're not giving people bad advice? How can we make sure that people have transparency into the kinds of things we're working on? And I want what I'm doing here, because prompt engineering, which is becoming the technical name for what I do, is very niche, but it's going to be a much broader field. And I've had lots of friends ask me, how do I get into prompt engineering? How do I get a job as a prompt engineer? So I tell them about what I do here, and my job is awesome. It's so cool. I get to brag about it to all my friends and be like, look at all the cool stuff I get to work on. And when people ask me, how do I become a prompt engineer? Part of it is the technical skill set, but part of it is, what are you going to do with that skill set? Mm-hmm. One of the big differences, and I'm sorry, I'm going to get a little geopolitical here, but there is data to back me on this. One of the big reasons that Russia has so many more hackers than the US is because in the US, at any reputable university, if you want to get into cybersecurity, you have to take an ethics course. It's mandatory to get that degree. In Russia, not at all. And you can argue about whether or not that's the right way to do it, but you can't argue that it doesn't impact people. Mm-hmm. When you talk to people in the cybersecurity profession, overwhelmingly, they have the know-how to do bad, and they choose to only do good. Mm-hmm. And I want what I'm doing here to be a template to other prompt engineers, other people in my position that are saying they can go and work anywhere. Because let's face it, if you're in prompt engineering, you can get a job at just about any company. This is an emerging field. And over the next 6 months to a year, you're going to start seeing that every company is going to realize that having a prompt engineer pays for themselves. Mm-hmm. And I want the kind of people that become prompt engineers to look at what I'm doing, to look at what other people are doing and say, we're going to use what we're doing for good. We're going to be careful, we're going to move slow, and we're going to keep our users' best interest in mind. And that's the culture you guys have here. So it was a perfect fit.
Wow. So our last question in closing is, how can AI help me grow spiritually? I have an idea of that, but what's your idea? I mean, how do you think what we're building at CLM with AI, how is it going to help a Kurt Landry ministry partner, family, or friend, or a House of David member, those that follow us, How is it going to help them grow spiritually?
It's an excellent question, and I'd love to get your thoughts on it in just a moment here. But one of the things that, as you become excellent at what you do, your limiting factor is time. And right now, you don't have time to sit down with every one of your members personally every morning. You are one person, right? No matter how much you want to, it's just not possible. And what we can start to do is we can take, you've created an enormous amount of content. We can take that content, we can take your teachings, and we can wrap that into an AI tool that other members can start to interact with. And what this does, we're not going to try to hide it or not be transparent about what it is, but what this lets people do is take the things that they're reading from you to that next level, where they can read one of your blog articles, one of your journaling exercises, and say, hey, I recognize that this is something that's relevant, but I'm having a specific problem and I don't know how it applies to me. And they'll be able to ask it questions and work with it and be able to, instead of just having this static thing that they can read and try to implement, it'll give them a way to brainstorm and a way to grow in a more interactive setting. It'll give them new ideas to try. And this is what I already do in my own life with my own teachings. And it's a model that I think millions of people can benefit from.
So that's an excellent answer. So my answer is this. The Lord had given my wife, Christy, and you'll meet her here probably later today, but this is such wisdom. And the reason I say this coming from her, because she's like the mother of the house. She's, you know, and in Jewish culture, if the mom ain't happy, nobody's happy.
So Truer words have never been spoken.
Yes, you understand this. So, but what she said is spiritually, and she was the first one spiritually saved in our family, so that our whole spiritual life kind of started with her. But one of the things that she said is inconsistency lies the victory. I want to say that again. Inconsistency lies the victory. And so if you're going to transform your mind spiritually by the renewing of the mind, by the washing of the word, you're going to have some have consistency. And Griffin, you nailed it, because, you know, I'm 68 years old. I've got a lot of energy. I am not retiring. I have a 10-year business plan of what I'm going to do. So, but it also involves this. I love the concept of having AI and what you guys are building, because people want to dig deeper. People want to be able to ask. I have requests all the time. If I could just have a cup of coffee with you, if I could just do this, they want to ask questions. So we're going to take 15 years of content. We're so blessed. You know, we did live streaming. We started 17 years ago. So we've got probably more content than the average bear. We're putting all that content in. And this way, when you ask questions, it's coming from, let's say 17 years, but really what it's come, you're getting advice from 33 years of experience of what we have done as a family and a ministry. And you're able to tap into that and dive deep into those areas to get answers for your own personal life. I couldn't do that writing a book. There's no way to do that. So what basically this is, it's like a giant Kurt Landry ministry search engine. And you get to dive in and get specific answers in consistency for your challenge or what you need to understand to take that next step of faith. Would that be a fair way of saying it?
Absolutely. You nailed it.
Yeah. Well, that's why I love this. And the reason I love this project and the reason that, listen, 3 years ago, I'll be honest with you, 3 years ago, I got excited about this. I said, okay, the Lord's going to allow us to take this rock and kill the Goliath, which the Goliath for me is, I don't know how much you know about my testimony, but I was in Tel Aviv in 91, and I asked the Lord to make me a voice, not on my watch. And I knew the Goliath at that time was going to be propaganda, because that's how the enemy, that's how Hitler killed our Jewish people, is he started out by diminishing us from being people to be in vermin. So I understood that as a Jew, I have a responsibility to be able to tell the truth. Otherwise, we're going to have a Kristallnacht situation again. And so you're already seeing that with cancel culture and all these things, trying to cancel what we say in our messages. So the best way to catapult or to take that rock of David and slingshot it into that is AI. Because with AI, it allows accelerated communication of excellent information, deep diving concept that's that's anointed of God to bring transformation into individual lives, to have delivery systems that will actually relate and create mental bridges for you to cross over to receive the information, not only in wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, but with an anointing to break the yoke so that you can make the changes that you need to make in your life. And I don't know any other tool. So I look at this potential of this of being quite good. Would you agree with what I said?
Absolutely. I do have one question I want to ask you before we pop off the air, though.
Okay.
So you asked me from a technician standpoint, from a programmer standpoint, yep, what is being responsible with AI mean to me? Now I want to turn around and ask it to you. You have a couple more followers than I do. And so I'm curious to hear what you think. When you're looking at it from your perspective, what is being responsible with this tool mean to you?
I'm going to have to answer like a business guy. I'm sorry. I'm entrepreneurial. I'm third generation entrepreneurial in my DNA. So number one, we've done all the legal work. You've got to have, we have a specialized attorney that's an AI attorney. So that's first.
Okay? It was awesome. Shout out to you, by the way. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Yes. Yeah. We won't mention her name, but she's great. God sent her. In fact, we met her through a spiritual connection. That's how we found her. We're actually in a church meeting, and that's how we found her. But she's great. Okay. Second is we have to have the firewalls. You've got to have the security so that you're not hacked and damaged. And so we have another team member that basically is like the fireman, and he's excellent. And so we've hired him, and he's fantastic. And then the next thing is that we have to be able to connect the dots with the information so that when you access it, it makes sense. And that's why we hired you.
Yeah.
Because the danger with AI is you can't just let it run all over the place. It has to run down the funnels and down the streams of information that are the intention of the source, so that basically it takes on our personality, it takes on our nature, our value system, our character, integrity. It actually encapsulates that. And that's what you're doing for us, because you understand that's our highest priority, is we're not trying to create something that's going to reflect something else, somebody else, or some other, let's say, theological, doctrinal expression. And I think for just even meeting you on this program, you have the value and the cultural integrity in your heart that we didn't teach you. How you were raised and who you are as a person, you carry that.
Proper Jewish upbringing.
Yes, but you carry what I carry and what Paul carries. So that's it. So those are the three things: is you got to be legal, you have to protect it with the firewall, but you also have to have somebody like cooking. It's great to go to the store, get all the good organic food, but somebody's got to be the chef, and you've got to bring it all together at the right temperature, the right time, and make a meal that's enjoyable. So you're basically the chef. You're cooking the secret sauce here to be able to bring it to the people so that when they taste it, and like, listen, I'm a hobby chef and I'm a foodie, but I can tell you that people who have come to my house and had meals, they'll know if you've ever come to my house and you have my spaghetti sauce, or if you have a filet mignon that I've cooked on my green egg, you will know that if you came back the next time and I catered it, you would say, this isn't Rabbi's sauce. It wasn't the experience what I taste. And I really feel very comfortable that what's happening with what you're doing, cooking this meal for them, that it's going to taste like 33 years of integrity. And most of all, the love of Yeshua is coming through it so that people can say, the scripture says, taste and see that the Lord is good. I think they're going to taste and see that the Lord is good. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And this is part of why it's taking so long, because I was brought on months ago. And when I was brought on, Paul and I had discussions about how quickly do we want to get this out into the world. And there's a trade-off between how fast we launch and how good it is. And what we realized is we took, the technical phrase is the base model, right? So we took just normal ChatGPT. And we started asking it some questions. We asked it, generate a devotional for us. Ask me a question that I can reflect on. And what we found is even when we told it to talk like you, to speak like you, to read your work first, it wasn't doing a very good job. And sometimes it would say that you said things that you never said. Oops. Mm-hmm. And so what we're doing, and this is one thing that I want to caution everyone against, I am a huge believer in AI, obviously. But you need to use the right tool for the right job. Using something like normal ChatGPT or some tool you find off the internet, you don't know how it's generating its answers. You don't know what safeguards are in place. And so like right now, if you try to do some of the things that we're going to be able to do with normal ChatGPT, it's not going to work very well, and it's going to give you information that might be wrong. And so like you were saying, having all of these different components, the security side, the integrity side, and the tech side, joining all three of those together, that's what's required to be able to use AI for spiritual growth. If you just have one, if you just have the tech and you're missing those other two, you're going to end up with results that really could lead you astray. Mm-hmm. I think that's really important.
I totally agree. And I'm going to close with this. We'll close with another Jewish guy who said some words, and his name was Solomon. And Solomon in Ecclesiastes said, "One is easily overtaken, two not so easy, but a threefold cord is not easily broken." And so I think what we're doing here in summary is that we are creating a threefold cord that is not going to be easily broken to give you a safe place to be able to wrap around your life, to be transformed into the likeness of Christ, the likeness of Messiah Yeshua, to be able to get that spiritual growth, to be able to find your identity, to be able to find your purpose, and be able to, most importantly, is to find destiny and an inheritance to leave a legacy for your children. Because without AI, it's going to be difficult to communicate all the good things that you've learned and all the lessons you've learned in your life. So we want to thank you for joining us. Griffin, thank you so much.
It was a pleasure.
Shalom, shalom. Just such a blessing to have you on our team. And I hope that this podcast has blessed you. Please share it with some friends and let's get to the truth of it. I think you can see at Kurt Landry Ministries, we are going to bring the glory of God and the truth of the gospel to the nations of the earth and every tribe and tongue, according to what it says in the book of Matthew, before the return of Messiah. This message of this gospel must be preached. And that's what we're doing. God bless you and shalom. Hey, before you go, I got something really exciting I want to share with you. It's an opportunity for you to be a part of us as a One New Man Covenant subscriber. This membership is going to allow you to receive weekly prophetic words and also content that's not available to the general public. Your membership is going to help us to be able to bring better content, and more education to you. What is needed in this day and hour is good information. So become a One New Man Covenant subscriber for Kurt Landry Ministries, and I want to thank you in advance.